man, I like that one. There's a lot to choose from. Hear him, ye deaf. His praise, ye dumb. Your loosened tongues employ, ye blind. Behold, your Savior's come, and leap, ye lame, for joy. And there's some really good words in there. Hope you're able to concentrate a little bit on that. I know it's a little tricky, and by the end, maybe you're just tired of singing. But hope that was an encouragement to you. Man, I still haven't gotten over the Kopacheski announcement. That's pretty exciting. Open your Bibles up to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 tonight. The content by which we discuss tonight is a serious one, and to keep people's attention, a lot of times maybe use humor or tell stories, but when talking about the Lord's Supper, I'll refrain from those things. Can you turn me down just a little bit? I hear that. So I will refrain from that. So if you could just keep attention and keep it dialed in, and again, it's a serious subject, and I feel like it should be taken that way. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we'll read verse 24 and 25. We'll pray, and then we'll look into the scriptures a little bit. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which was broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for tonight. Lord, we thank you for the songs. And Lord, as it's been said, it was good to be here this morning and all the things that were going on. And Lord, the many guests that you brought to us, thank you for that. Lord, I pray now that we would, Lord, we would not be distracted with the thoughts of outside of this place, but Lord, we will be able to focus in on what it is that you're speaking to our hearts about. That God, we'd be completely consumed and concentrated on this very topic of the Lord's Supper tonight. Lord, I pray that as serious as we take it, you'd be pleased with that. God, that it would work its perfect work, and Lord, that again, you'd be through it all honored and glorified. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. In 1 Corinthians, they were making a mess of the Lord's table. So Paul had to re-explain to them what the purpose was. And a lot of our scriptures are going to come out of 1 Corinthians chapter 11 tonight, but I would like to jump over to Mark chapter 14 to actually look at what it is that he's referencing back. So keep 1 Corinthians chapter 11, jump over to Mark chapter 14 tonight. Mark chapter 14 in verse 22 says this, "And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and brake it and gave to them and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, 'This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God.' When they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives." Here is what we would call the Lord's Supper. Happens at the Last Supper. And what happens is he institutes this. He brings about this meal, and it's not your typical, what we would consider a big meal. We were at a wedding yesterday, and they had a renewal of vows, and man, there was a lot of food. There was sausage and prime rib and all those things, and that's what you would expect at a big meal. But here, he had a purpose in it. The room was prepared. They went there, and there was two things that were being offered. There was drink, and there was bread. And the drink was to symbolize his blood, and the bread was to symbolize his body. It wasn't just, hey, have fellowship around this, but I want you to think about some things, is pretty much what he's saying. So what's the purpose of the Lord's Supper in our life? Yes, there was an incident. That was a true event that really happened that day. He met with his 12 disciples, at which one leaves a little early to go deceive him or turn him in, betray him. We know that's Judas. So how does that have weight on us today? Why is it that we're doing this tonight? Why is it that we have similar type of elements and unleavened bread or crackers and fruit of the vine, like he said in Mark chapter 14. Why are we doing this? Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it tells us. Go back there. We do it in obedience to Christ. He told us to in verse 24. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And every single time that we take the Lord's Supper, it's not a time to be filled. It's not a time to, this isn't like an all-you-can-eat buffet. No, these are very specific elements for a very specific task. And that specific task is to remember. Remember the cross. Remember about the blood. Remember about those things. How many of you have ever gone back and maybe some of our older couples watched your wedding video again? Maybe on your 25 year, you bring out the projector, right? That one. And you bring those out, or VHS tapes. You got to borrow it from your grandmother or something like that. And you try and watch that, and wow, why do you do those things? To remember. To remember that. So why do we do this tonight? Because we are commanded to. And it helps us remember. You know, the things that we think about, the things that we discuss, that's who we become. That's why it's important to fellowship around the things of God. Talk about the things of God. It's good conversation. All day we've been preparing for a whole week. We've been preparing for this time. This morning we preached on the cross. We introduced the thought of the cross. We started in the Old Testament and worked our way up. And tonight, we sang songs about the cross. We sang songs about the blood. Why? Because we never want to forget what Christ did. How is it that 2,000 years ago, we're still talking about an event? Because one of the ordinances of the church is to do this, that we never forget it. It's important. It's important. Number one, the Lord commanded us to. We are being obedient to Him. Number two, look at verse 26. "For as often as ye drink this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death." And how long do we do it? How long shall we do this? Till He comes back. Well, He has not come back yet. So this helps us anticipate the return of Christ. Maybe this will be our last Lord's Supper. Maybe this will be the last time. Maybe the next time we sup like this is at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Or maybe we'll do it one more. But we do it until He comes. He's given us a timeline. In verse 26, it tells us this: "As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death." Not only does it help us be obedient to what He's told us and help us remember that He's coming back, but it also reminds us of His death. That He really did die on the cross. He died on the cross for your sins. And His body was battered. His blood was spilt for you and I. That's why we keep doing it. This is kind of like baptism. And that baptism doesn't save us. But it's a picture of something that happened inside of us. This is not the death of Christ right here. but it's a remembrance of it. It's an illustration of it. This cracker that's in here, this broken cracker that sits here, and as we break it into pieces and we hand them out, we think about the whip coming across Christ's back, the punches to his face, his body broken for you and I. But I want to tell you that drinking this and eating this does not save you. You get to do this because you are saved. How could you remember something that never had happened? Remember that time you went to California, Chase? No. Have you ever been to California? No. How could you remember something that never happened? How can we do this in remembrance if it's never been personal to us? Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Where does our salvation come from? There's a group of people that say that this is part of salvation. That taking communion is salvation, but that is not. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 9 says this, "Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ once for all." When I bite that cracker, I'm not crucifying Christ again. When I drink the juice, I'm not spilling his blood again. No, that happened once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down in the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstools. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. He made one offering. This is simply a remembrance of that. This is not our salvation. It's a picture of our salvation. So who does this? Well, as we said, it's tough to remember something that never happened. So the number one qualifier for being part of the Lord's Supper is that you're saved. You need to be saved. And baptized. Now, there was a time in our church when we didn't have baptism as regularly. And we would say this, we would say something similar to the fact that, hey, if you're anticipating on our July picnic to be baptized, and your intention is to be baptized, we just haven't had a baptismal service, well, then you could partake in here. But if after year that thing keeps coming by and you're not identifying with Christ in baptism, Romans chapter 6, well, you'll have no part of this. Do I have to be a member of this church? No. There are some churches that say, unless you're a member of our church, I don't know why they do that. Maybe it's simply just to be able to keep better track of who's saved and who's not, and who's been baptized. Maybe they keep better records like that. But if you're a believer in Christ and you've been saved and baptized, and then you go to, I don't know, even like Childlight Bible Baptist or something like that, and you're here tonight, well, praise the Lord. You can be part of that. All right? We have friends that are from Childlight Bible Baptist here tonight. So, what do we use? Well, we use some bread. Unleavened bread. See, stop touching the bread. That one's going to be my piece. All right. I'll touch this one and I'll keep it up here. There's nothing special about this. It's just a cracker. It's not even good bread. It's not like Wegmans fresh out of the oven bread. It's got little to no salt. There's no rise in it. It's just to help us remember. There's no saving power in this piece of cracker. But this is what the Lord used. He used unleavened bread. Because leaven is a type of sin in the Scripture, so do we. He used fruit of the vine, as it said in Mark. So what do we have here? Well, we have grape juice. It symbolizes, again, His blood. Is this the blood of Christ? Does this somehow, when I'm drinking it, become the blood of Christ in my body? No. Nope. When it was poured into this little cup, it was juice. When it gets poured into my belly, it's juice. And it will never be anything other. But it helps me remember. When I look at it, I think about the blood of Christ. And that's what He told us to do. I don't have to get into all the different thoughts from the Scriptures about alcohol. But this is just juice. If you go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. So who can? Those that are saved and baptized. What do we use? We use a cracker, piece of bread, and a little bit of juice. You're not going to fill up on this. This isn't, oh, wow, we had the Lord's Supper tonight. I'll see you at breakfast time. No, that's not the purpose of this. And that's what was happening in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. They were mishandling the Lord's Supper. They were using it as a buffet. And it became a point of fellowship rather than a time of remembrance. I like fellowshipping. I like people coming over to our house. I was talking to somebody the last couple of weeks, and we've spent a lot of time at our kitchen table fellowshipping with other people. And I'm good with that. I like that. But the purpose of this is not fellowship with one another necessarily, as it is fellowship with God Himself. So now we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 again. And it says this. It says some pretty strong words in verse 28. Well, look at 27. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the blood, or the body and blood of the Lord. Now, understand this. In the eyes of God, it's not like I'm ever worthy of salvation or worthy of anything. But there are qualifiers, and He goes on to explain it. Aren't you glad for the Word of God that explains itself? He defines it. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. He says, hey, there's a way that you can become worthy. How is that? By examining yourself. Taking a look at some things. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. God says, I take this time right here really serious. This isn't a joke. This isn't some formality. I want to take this serious, and so I want you to take it serious. So examine yourself. And He even warns, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. He says, you better judge yourself and make sure you're clean. One of the best parts about this is a self-examination. So I don't like that part. It makes me feel uncomfortable. It's quiet in here. Nothing happens. It's still. And so it should be, because we're examining ourselves. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Just one book over. In verse 5, Bible says, examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves? How that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? Hey, you're in charge of examining your own self. The only person that you can really take inventory on is you. Because the self-examination is not going through your wallet. It's not checking physical things. It's looking at your heart. To examine one's heart. You know, we sang that song. There, did you notice in that song towards the end that we were singing, some of those verses are like, ooh, that's a little rough. Harlots and publicans and thieves. He said, from crimes as great as mine. Get to verse 16, murderers. And ye hellish crew, ye sons of lust and pride. Ooh, that ain't me. We look at that and go, I didn't do that. I'm 15, 16, don't describe me. How about pride? Covetousness, laziness, disobedience. How about love of the world? How about impure thoughts? How about not being a bold witness for Christ? For him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. How about being unfaithful in your Bible reading and prayer? Have I been faithful in praying for others? Understand that confession without repentance is a mockery to God. Ask yourself, do I desire to live a holy life? Do I love God with all my heart, soul, strength, and mind? Do I love my neighbors as myself? Have I forgiven those that have sinned against me? Have I been obedient to what the Lord has told me to do? Have I obeyed God when He's told me to quit my bad habits? Have I been the husband or wife that's pleasing to the Lord? Have I been kind to the one that God has given me? Do I love my children? No, you might not be a harlot or a thief or a murderer. Are there other things in your life that need some examining? So we're going to take a minute or two or as long as you need. We're going to examine ourselves. Say, what do you think that's going to be? A couple minutes, 2, 3 minutes? I'll set my timer. No, you take as long as you need. Because God takes it serious, and so should we. We'll take a little time and we'll pray. And then when it looks like everything...